markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures declining on the final trading day of the year as financial markets close out the worst year in more than a decade for global equities and bonds. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 0.4% or 15 points. Dow futures down 0.3% or 109 points. And NASDAQ futures down 0.4% or 46 points. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.38%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 8 cents at $78.32 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $1.30 at $18.24.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0682 against the dollar. British pound 1.2037. The yen 131.82. And Bitcoin is down 0.6%. It's at just under $16,500. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. John.
Kara, thanks a lot. That brings us to 6:56 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at some of the stocks and names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. For the new year, I resolve to be a little less focused on some of the specific names and more focused on sectors.
A worthy cause, I think. a worthy resolution for sure.
I say that because there's nothing that really stands out and excites me this morning.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, I'm looking at the S&P 500 right now. Out of 505 stocks that are trading, there are only four that are in the green right now. So a pretty broad sell-off when you look at it. Some of the worst performing companies are actually in the biotech space. They're in the commodity space. They're in the airline space. The ones that were rebounding or had little pockets of green this week are all selling off today. So your worst performer, for example, this morning in pre-market trading is Norwegian Cruise Lines, NCLH, down 1.7%. And it's joined by some of the other kind of volatility plays. Think airlines, cruise lines, American Airlines is up there as well. AAL down 1.2%, as well as some of the casino names, which have that exposure to China, which have also been kind of a volatility play as of late. LVS is for Las Vegas Sands, down about 1% as well. So you can see, the ones that are the most volatile are the ones that are selling off the most. Surprise, surprise. But there is some green on the screen. Like I mentioned, there are two actually kind of interesting stories. We have to talk about Tesla because Tesla is making its rebound again, third day in a row. TSLA up about 0.7%. And by the way, it is now the biggest mover this morning. But not far behind it is Merck. And this is actually a fundamental story on the last trading day of the year. MRK. Shares are up about 0.7%. And by the way, seeing the most volume in the pre-market, that title usually goes to Tesla. So today, Merck actually getting in. This coming after China approves Merck's COVID therapy, given that they have a shortage of drugs. So they've approved Merck's COVID-19 antiviral for emergency use. And of course, this comes after Beijing's looking to expand and really accelerate their reopening.
They have their own drugs, but they're not mRNA-based, and there's some anecdotal evidence to suggest that those vaccines in China aren't really good.
Right. And this is, remember, this isn't the vaccine. This is the, if you get COVID, how you treat
the
it.
Treatments.
So it's the Merck. But remember, they had already cleared Paxlovid from Pfizer earlier this year. So
is there last trading day of the year? Did yesterday might qualify for a Santa Claus rally.
I suppose.
We heard so much about tax harvesting year of end. Does that account for some of the selling?
Well, we don't know. I think it's something you have to wait in
retrospect.
I'll
check with my accountant.
Yeah, like see if he did something there. But you mentioned the Santa rally. I mean, look, out of the last five trading days of the year, only two in the green.
TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, thanks. And looking at stocks as a whole right now, ahead of the cash open, S&P futures down 15 points. The Dow futures, 114 points lower, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now are down 48 points. For Kriti, for Karen Moscow, I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
Now going into next year, everyone is bearish, right? We're going to have this massive recession.
markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is the final trading day of the year. Futures are lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are pointing to a lower open with Dow futures down 67 points, S&P's drop 9, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 30. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.85%. Gold is up 3. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is trading lower by 0.6%. Shanghai rose 0.5% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, Chicago PMI. In other news, the BOJ went big again with the third day of unscheduled bond purchases. And wrapping things up, the S&P 500 is on course for its worst year since 2008. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a House committee is set to release 6 years of Donald Trump's tax returns today, pulling back the curtain on financial records that the former president fought for years to keep secret. Southwest Airlines says it expects to return to a normal flight schedule today. The declaration comes after nearly a week of cancellations and delays for travelers. Thursday night football, the Cowboys beat the Titans 27-13. In the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in a shootout to the Lightning 2-1. The Islanders won, the Capitals lost in overtime to the Senators 4-3. And soccer legend Pele has died after a battle with cancer. He was 82. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. 6:42 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. officials approve the U.S. health officials' approval process for Biogen, controversial. For Biogen's controversial Alzheimer's drug was rife with irregularities, according to a report by two House committees. It called the FDA's collaboration with Biogen while assessing the drug excessive. The report also criticized Biogen for setting an unjustifiably high yearly price for the product. The Japanese subsidiary of Sam Bankman-Fried's bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange, FTX, says it'll start returning customer assets from the middle of February. FTX Japan said it's developing systems to enable its customers to withdraw their assets. And agricultural commodities are heading for the longest stretch of annual gains since at least the early 90s, as drought and war cut production and erode inventories, keeping global food inflation simmering. The Bloomberg Agriculture Spot Index, which includes everything from corn, wheat, and coffee, is poised to cap 4 years of increases. Another bullish driver is China's reopening. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Never good when the price of coffee is going up, John.
Especially
not for us early risers.
This shift, yeah, I was going to say. Thanks, Karen. 6:43 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include Sam Bankman-Fried meeting with Biden aides in the pre-collapse crypto push. There are increasing calls for Representative-elect George Santos to call it quits, and Democrats preparing to release years of former President Trump's tax returns. The U.S. sending billions in aid to Ukraine as Russia ramps up attacks on the country. Well, let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, joining us now to talk about those latest stories in D.C. Always a welcome to the last trading day of the year, Terry Haynes, and what a year it's been. So who wants to be associated with Sam Bankman-Fried? Raise your hands. Oh, nobody. He was at the White House, or apparently meeting with some White House officials. So what gives, and are Democrats, Republicans going to make hay out of this?
Well, first, Happy New Year to you and everybody on Daybreak, John. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it.
Well, sure. I mean, hay will be made, so let's stipulate that. But, look, Bankman-Fried ran around for a couple of years throwing money all over the place in Washington. And any time you know, you've got a donor who turns into the second biggest donor in the midterms, lots of people are going to want to meet with him. So, you know, meetings were had. But at the same time, I don't think that Bankman-Fried made any headway on anything that Bankman-Fried cared about. I mean, you know, certainly he's in a heap of trouble regardless of any meetings he had in Washington, firstly. Secondly, there was no, you know, there's a lot of ballyhoo about, you know, him wanting a particular sort of regulatory regime for crypto. There was never any likelihood that crypto legislation was going to pass in the now dying, current Congress. You know, nobody, for one simple reason, nobody agrees on what should be done. And the arguments that you presented about 15 minutes ago with Congressman Sherman and Congressman McHenry show that. On the one hand, you've got Mr. Sherman, who wants to talk about, you know, sort of not regulating crypto at all and walling it off from the, you know, kind of the real system. And on the other hand, soon to be Chairman McHenry makes a very good point that, you know, you're going to have a situation where if you ignore this stuff and wall it off, well, then, you know, somebody's going to be hurt in different ways, and we're going to be behind on, you know, the responsible regulation of this stuff. And that really shows, just how far apart, everybody is on crypto. So, you know, net, I think hay will be made. Bankman-Fried throwing around a lot of money here. You know, there's a lot of, you know, nobody wants to be seen with him, of course, and people are going to have to start giving the money back if they haven't already. But you know, I think it's a non-story compared to the bigger fraud.
Okay, here's another story that seems to keep on giving. Increasing calls for George Santos to call it quits even before he's sworn into Congress. The Times had a piece highlighting, among other things, unusual disbursements documented in his campaign filings. Where does this go?
Where this goes is that, you know, when last we talked, you know, mere days ago, I think, about Mr.
And more revelations have come out since then. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when it, you know, it seemed sort of comic. And, you know, now he's being mentioned more and more with the same breath with people like SBF and Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos. What I said then was that I thought he served a maximum of one term and probably less. And I'll say today that, you know, that I think we're trending strongly towards the probably much less, and he's probably out of office within a couple of months. You've got a clearer picture now. You've got at least three investigations. You'll have the Nassau DA, which has started. The U.S. attorney in Brooklyn is rumored to be looking around at some things. And, you know, if he gets sworn in, you know, Congress, I think, almost certainly will launch an investigation on him quickly. You've got all these questions, which, again, you talked about earlier in the hour, so I won't belabor them. But, you know, this is going to be death by a thousand paper cuts for Mr. Santos pretty quickly. Where does this money come from? Who are you really? All this sort of stuff. And you know, he's not going to be around long, frankly. You know, the party, his own party's cutting him loose. The other side's trashing him. And, you know, the big unknowns for me at this point really come down to, you know, in the election, where was his opponent? The stuff was all out there, not really hard to figure out. So I don't know what opposition research was doing there. The press wasn't doing very much locally anyway. And, you know, his own party, apparently it's some sort of an open secret in some Republican quarters that, you know, a lot of this stuff was not exactly on the up and up. So there's going to be a lot of people having a lot to answer for.
Let's do this in 15 seconds. When the Trump tax returns are released by Democrats today, big furor or dies on the vine or what?
Resounding dud, I think. You know, so much of this Trump stuff by Democrats, and I'm not by no means a Trump apologist, so much of this stuff is, you know, kind of years too late to make much of a difference to anybody but the base, who will, you know, aha a few things, and that'll be it.
Terry, thanks as always. And again, Happy New Year. Thanks for being here. Founder of Pangea Policy. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Also a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, D.C. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. Well, after yesterday's rally, the futures right now indicate a lower open on Wall Street. Start with the NASDAQ futures. They're down 40 points. That's down about 0.4%. S&P futures down 12. The Dow futures 91 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower on this final trading day of the year. We check the markets all day long here at Bloomberg. S&P futures down 14 points or a third of a percent. Dow futures down 0.3% or 107 points. And NASDAQ futures down 0.4% or 45 points. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.38%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 18 cents at $78.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.10 at $1,823.90 an ounce, and the euro 1.0684 against the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a House committee will release 6 years of Donald Trump's tax returns today. There will be some redactions of sensitive information. Southwest Airlines says it expects to return to a normal flight schedule today. The declaration comes after nearly a week of cancellations and delays for travelers. In the NFL, the Cowboys beat the Titans 27-13. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in the shootout. The Islanders won. Capitals lost in overtime. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:23 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Questions over crypto legislation being raised in the wake of the collapse of FTX. There's a new report that says the co-founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, held at least 4 meetings with senior White House officials this year, part of a push to influence crypto policy. Well, Democratic House Representative Brad Sherman, a member of the House Financial Services Committee, is weighing in on the issue in an interview with Bloomberg's Madison Mills.
You made your views really crystal clear with that quote, but I wonder, is this a chicken or an egg thing? Could regulation have prevented the bad actor here?
I think regulation could have been somewhat helpful, but ultimately, when you send your money to Bahamas or Cayman Islands, it's for the purpose of evading U.S. law. I mean, though, you know, Cayman Islands might have be a good place to snorkel, but if you choose to bank there or the Bahamas, you're seeking to evade the very laws that would, on the one hand, enforce our tax laws, on the other hand, protect investors.
Some of those investors get a little shaky about legislation because every time Congress discusses it, they lose a little bit more money. The market doesn't like regulation like that. So what is your message to the crypto fans on your position?
This is an enterprise which will probably fail. But if it succeeds in its purpose is to create a new currency which will disadvantage the average American. Its purpose is to have a new currency that competes with the dollar by offering one purported advantage. It's right there in the name, cryptocurrency, hidden money. And I don't think we need hidden money. I think we need transparent financial transactions.
It's interesting because that you've, again, made your positioning very clear, but some of your colleagues on the Hill have very differing opinions. I interviewed Representative Patrick McHenry on crypto regulation, and here is what he had to say about the risks of that regulation.
He was taking advantage of a lack of clarity in regulation. What we have to understand in the U.S. is that we do have an open digital border. And new products will emerge. And if we don't have a regulatory regime and a rule of law that is enforced around this new technology, we're going to have our consumers fall victim to the worst actors globally.
Does the U.S. miss a chance to be a world leader by over-regulating crypto?
We lose a chance to be a world leader in hidden money, which is exactly what cryptocurrency means. We lose a chance to help wealthy people evade our tax laws. We lose a chance for people like Sam Bankman-Fried to evade our bankruptcy courts. We make it easier for husbands who are planning to leave their wives to hide monies from our family courts. This is what innovation is offering us, and it also offers a chance for people to bet that, well, I'm not leaving my wife, I'm not cheating on my taxes, but I want to bet that this becomes such a useful tool that I can sell it to somebody who does want to use it for those purposes and make a profit.
That's Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman speaking with Madison Mills on Bloomberg Sat Down. You can catch the program weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio, and hear the full interview on the Daily Sound On podcast, available on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street this morning, right now the futures are in the red. Dow futures down 102, S&P E-mini futures down 13, the NASDAQ futures are down 14 points. Just ahead, this morning's top stories, plus your local headlines, and a check of the markets. But first, let's get a look at today's Bloomberg weather forecast. 46 degrees in Central Park. Rob Carolyn has the weekend weather forecast.
Any cloudiness this morning will be giving way to sunshine. Highs across the tri-state area are mild today, 50 to 55. Clouding up overnight, 40 to 45. Rain moves in by late in the day tomorrow, 50 to 55. Rain for New Year's Eve, lows 45 to 50. It ends by morning. New Year's Day becoming partly to mostly sunny, remaining mild, highs 50 to 55. I'm Rob Carolyn with your three-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's coming up on 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Innovation Refunds. Your business may be eligible to receive a payroll tax refund. The application takes around 8 minutes, 8 minutes or less, to see if your small to medium-sized business may be eligible for a refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on the payroll during the pandemic. Find out at GetRefunds.com. Up first, U.S. futures are lower as we enter the final trading day of the year. 2022 marked the worst year in more than a decade for global equities and bonds. David Bahnsen, chief investment officer at the Bahnsen Group, says to look for some gains in the new year, even if there is a recession.
You can have a recession, you can have a bear market, and still have some things in the market do well when other things are not. That's really what I expect going into 23.
David Bahnsen with the Bahnsen Group sees prices coming down next year, but still thinks caution is warranted.
And overseas in Ukraine, Russia launched one of its heaviest barrages on major cities like Kyiv, aiming to destroy civilian targets. At the same time, President Biden signed a government funding bill that includes $47 billion in aid for Ukraine. The U.S. also considering sending Bradley fighting vehicles to the country.
News this morning, John, tied to collapsed crypto exchange FTX. Meetings between White House officials and former CEO Sam Bankman-Fried are coming under scrutiny. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with more. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. Bankman-Fried was banking on making connections with the Biden administration to promote his company and the crypto biz. Previously disclosed visitor logs show SBF had three meetings with top White House officials, and a source confirms to Bloomberg there was a fourth meeting with a Biden senior advisor. Those connections fell apart after the collapse of FTX and Bankman-Fried's subsequent arrest in the Bahamas. We're also learning the Bahamian action government took quickly action when FTX went under, having seized $3.5 billion in digital assets by the next day. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. On Capitol Hill today, House Committee sent to release 6 years of Donald Trump's tax returns. Republicans, who soon take control of the House, they're threatening to release tax returns of Democrats. But U.S. Representative Brendan Boyle says that might not have the intended impact.
There has been sort of a threat from the other side that this would create a new precedent. That's just not so for two reasons. Every president since Nixon has voluntarily released their tax returns every single year. If Republicans are threatening to, say, release Joe Biden's tax returns, well, great. They're already public.
And that's Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle speaking with Madison Mills on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. That's the five things you need to know to start your day. S&P futures right now, 13 points lower. The Dow futures are down 97 points. And the NASDAQ futures right now are 43 points lower after yesterday's rally. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:31 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at news around the world and New York. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. The anger toward New York Congressman-elect George Santos is growing. Dozens of his Long Island constituents held a demonstration in the congressional district yesterday.
We were bamboozled, absolutely lied to, and we do not want this representation in New York District 3.
They called on the New York Republican to resign. Santos has been under fire for lying about his education, work experience, and even his faith and family. The city of Buffalo is trying to get back on its feet from a destructive storm. Snow reached as high as 4 feet in the city, contributing to dozens of deaths. Now the weather is warming up, and there are concerns of flooding from melting snow. President Joe Biden has signed a $1.7 trillion bill funding government operations through September of 2023. New York's first legal weed dispensary is now open for business. Long lines formed outside the Housing Works new dispensary in Greenwich Village yesterday afternoon. The first sales of legal cannabis took place at 4:20 p.m. This man was among the customers standing in line for hours.
This is the social equity we look for and hope for, but, you know, we all still need other components, so we hope not to still be squeezed out in other manners, i.e. some people don't have the capital, some people don't have the properties.
They did the confetti test ahead of the New Year's Eve ball drop tomorrow night in Times Square. New Year's Eve ball drop co-producer Jeffrey Strauss.
This is going to be the best time ever. We're going to start together. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
3,000 pounds of colorful paper will rain down on the city streets Saturday night. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Yeah, it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Report being brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. Good morning, Dan Schwartzman.
Good morning, John. The Knicks losing on the road in San Antonio.
The Spurs get it back. Plenty of time. Just got to get it up before the shot clock runs out. They do. It's gone! Oh, Baba! Josh Richardson!
That's courtesy of the Spurs Radio Network. The Knicks falling to the Spurs 122-115 despite 41 points and 11 rebounds from Julius Randle and 36 points from Emmanuel Quickley. Keldon Johnson leading the Spurs with 30 points in the win. The Rangers falling to the Lightning in Tampa Bay 2-1 in a shootout despite 39 saves from Igor Shesterkin as New York has now lost two games in a row. Meanwhile, the Islanders slipping past the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-1 as New York gets goals from Barzal and Pageau. The Dallas Cowboys improved to 12-4 with a 27-13 win on the road at the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football as Dak Prescott throws 2 second-half touchdowns, both to tight end Dalton Schultz. Meanwhile, the Jets and Giants in action on Sunday with playoff hopes on the line as the Jets are on the road to Seattle Seahawks while the Giants are home for the Indianapolis Colts. Both teams will make the playoffs if they win the remaining two games on their schedules. Big loss in soccer as legend Pelé passes away at the age of 82 from complications due to colon cancer which he had battled since last year. Pelé won a record 3 World Cups and played his entire career with Brazilian club Santos before playing 3 seasons for the New York Cosmos of the North American Soccer League. I'm Dan Schwartzman with Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, Dan, thanks very much. The Bloomberg Sports Report brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. After yesterday's rally, we're seeing futures indicate a lower open on Wall Street this morning. Dow futures down 89. S&P futures, they're down 12 points. It's now 6:35 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on KTRH in Houston. We're talking about oil futures on track for a near 5% gain in 2022.
I'm Jeff Bellinger.
And on WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting on how employers will likely continue to compete for talent in early 2023.
I'm Kimberly Adams, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on cost-conscious consumers changing our food delivery habits.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Radio in London. We've been reporting on Spanish inflation slowing more than expected in December, the fifth straight month of declines.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WOAI in San Antonio, I'm talking about Southwest Airlines, which plans to return to a normal schedule today after a week-long meltdown stranded thousands of passengers.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. That brings us to 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. And with that, here is Denise Pellegrini.
If you noticed a lot more fancy homes on the market lately, you're not alone. Redfin says sales of luxury homes fell a record of more than 38% in the last quarter compared to a year ago. Daryl Fairweather, chief economist at Redfin, chalks it up to rising mortgage rates and nervousness about the economy.
People don't want to buy a luxury item, something they can do without, when they're worried about being employed or their stock portfolio.
The biggest drops in luxury home sales unfolding in some coveted coastal markets.
The homes in these places are especially expensive. Luxury for the whole country means $1 million, but in the most expensive places, it means $2 million or more. So the more expensive it gets, the harder it's being hit right now.
Luxury home sales fell more than 50% in Anaheim and Riverside, California, more than 60% in San Jose, and more than 65% in Nassau County on Long Island. And that's the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
All right, thanks, Denise. A note out of Asia this morning. The Bank of Japan announcing an unprecedented third day of unscheduled purchases of bonds overnight. The Bank of Japan is battling speculation it's trying to end its super accommodative monetary policy. The purchases are boosting this month's buying to about $128 billion worth of bonds. It's a monthly record, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Well, as we check currencies right now, the yen is higher against the dollar, up 1%. It now takes 131.66 yen to buy one U.S. dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 30th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
we enter the last trading day of 2022 in a year that stock investors would like to forget.
The U.S. sends billions in aid to Ukraine as Russia ramps up attacks on the country.
Meetings between Sam Bankman-Fried and White House officials draw scrutiny.
And Democrats prepare to release years of former President Trump's tax returns.
Calls are louder for New York Representative-elect George Santos to step down. Plus, Buffalo is trying to get back on its feet after a deadly blizzard. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
And I'm Dan Schwartzman. The Knicks lose on the road at the San Antonio Spurs. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Hey, good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures down 10 points or 0.25%. Dow futures down 0.25% or 83 points. And NASDAQ futures down 0.2% or 26 points. And the 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 3.84%. John.
And it is the final trading day of the year. 2022 marked the worst year in more than a decade for global equities and bonds. Well, the NASDAQ in particular has taken a beating, losing a third of its value. This all comes as the Fed tightens policy to bring down the highest inflation seen in decades. David Banzin, chief investment officer at Banzin Group, sees prices coming down next year, but still thinks caution is warranted.
The inflation aspect is going to surprise to the downside, and yet the valuations of high growth stocks remain too high historically to put a lot of optimism in indexes or the growth side, the FANG story. Therefore, we remain value investors and cash flow investors.
David Banzin with the Banzin Group believes there will be some opportunity gains in the new year, even if there is a recession.
Well, overseas today, John, European stocks are lower. It's a shortened day in the UK with the London Stock Exchange closing early. Stocks in Asia, meantime, moved in the other direction, posting modest gains overnight. And Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the details from Hong Kong.
Most Asian equity benchmarks edged higher. China vowed more stimulus in 2023 and an improved relationship with the private sector. And economic activity rebounded in several Chinese cities where COVID infections have likely peaked. The dollar was steady while treasury yields picked up a little. The yen rallied as the Bank of Japan unveiled a third day of unscheduled bond purchases. No big end-of-the-year rally here, but no heavy selling either. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks. Now to the latest on the war in Ukraine. Russia is continuing attacks on major cities like Kyiv. Scores of missiles accounted for one of its heaviest barrages of the war, and pressing further with a campaign to destroy civilian targets. And Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says he believes Russia will launch more attacks before New Year's Eve.
Well, back here in the U.S., John, President Biden is sending more money to Ukraine. He signed a $1.7 trillion government funding bill that includes $47 billion in aid for the war-torn country. The U.S. is also considering sending Bradley fighting vehicles to Ukraine as part of a further package of military support.
And now to the latest on collapsed crypto exchange FTX. Meetings between White House officials and the former CEO, Sam Bankman-Fried, coming under scrutiny. And Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport is joining us live this morning with that story. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, John and Karen. White House officials confirm Bankman-Fried met with one of President Biden's senior advisors in September. Visitor logs show SBF had at least three other meetings with top officials in a push to build Beltway connections before his crypto firm went belly up. While living in the Bahamas, SBF also made frequent trips to Washington, testifying before Congress and meeting regulators. We're also learning the Bahamian government took swift action after FTX collapsed on November 11th. By the next day, regulators say they had seized $3.5 billion of digital assets. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Well, on Capitol Hill today, a House committee is set to release 6 years of Donald Trump's tax returns. The Democratic-controlled House Ways and Means Committee voted to release the returns last week. Republicans, who will soon take charge of that committee, are threatening to retaliate by publishing tax records of Democrats and their allies. U.S. Representative Brendan Boyle, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, voted to release the former president's taxes.
The courts, four different times, found in our favor, including the United States Supreme Court. They found that we had a legislative purpose in going after these tax returns. And sure enough, look at what we found. I mean, already the two reports, and they show that, in fact, the IRS was not doing what they were supposed to do. They were not doing the annual audit of the president's taxes.
Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle spoke with Madison Mills on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And Karen, last week has been a nightmare for travelers across the country, especially if you traveled on Southwest. Well, now the airline says it plans to return to a normal schedule today. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the latest on that story.
The airline says it does expect, quote, normal operations with minimal disruptions. The carrier has been operating a significantly reduced schedule for several days as it recovers from disruption caused by winter storms and overwhelmed scheduling technology. Southwest says with another holiday weekend full of important connections for our valued customers and employees, we are eager to return to a state of normalcy. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Meantime in China, COVID infections are expected to continue rising into January as the country pulls back on strict virus policies. Infections and mortalities are projected to peak in January, according to the research from Airfinity, with China potentially seeing up to 25,000 deaths a day next month. That'll cast a shadow over the start of the first Lunar New Year festivities without pandemic restrictions. But one note may ease concerns. No novel COVID-19 variants have emerged in China, according to a global consortium that's tracking coronavirus mutations. And futures are lower this morning with S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 111, and NASDAQ futures down 41. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. And now let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York Congressman-elect George Santos is said to be telling local Republican leaders that he will not seek re-election in 2024 as his background comes under even more fire. The chair of the Nassau County Republican Party wrote in a statement, "I don't know what party would endorse him as a candidate as more possible lies about his schooling and family come to light. In May of 2020, he reported no earned income. In 2022, he loaned his campaign more than $500,000 after reporting being part of a consulting company with a salary of $750,000. Dan Wiener, former Federal Election Commission attorney who now leads the Elections and Government Center at NYU's Brennan Center, spoke to NBC4.
This is an exceptional case, primarily not because he loaned his campaign lots of money, and many, many candidates do that, but because all the other details of his story about where he got that money have proven to be false.
Santos is set to take office next week and refuses to step aside despite calls for him to resign. Fans in New York are paying tribute to soccer legend Pelé. He died yesterday at age 82 after battling colon cancer. People flocked to the Pelé store in Times Square. This man spoke to ABC 7.
I'm from Brazil. I'm sad. We lost our biggest idol, the greatest man of our history, Pelé. And I'm in New York today. It's so crazy to see in Times Square, the most important place in the world, and you see Pelé's name.
We'll have more on the death of Pelé in sports shortly. Roads have reopened in storm-besieged Buffalo as authorities continue searching for people who may have died or remain stranded after last week's blizzard. Buffalo Niagara International Airport is also open again. Erie County Executive Mark Polengars.
Power has been restored to all Erie County residents. I want to thank the men and women of National Grid and NYSEG.
Erie County's Mark Polengar says at least 40 deaths have been reported in western New York from the blizzard. Fashion icon Vivienne Westwood, who played a key role in the 70s punk movement, has died. She was 81. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And that brings us to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update, being brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. And good morning, Dan Schwartzman.
Good morning, John. The Cowboys improving to 12-4.
Here comes second down 7. Prescott back, looking left, throwing it in the back of the end zone for Schultz. What a grab! Did he get it? Touchdown, Dalton Schultz!
That's courtesy of Amazon Prime. The Cowboys with a 27-13 win on the road at the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football as Dak Prescott throws 2 second-half touchdowns, both to tight end Dalton Schultz. Both the Jets and Giants in action on Sunday with playoff hopes on the line as the Jets are on the road at the Seattle Seahawks while the Giants are home for the Indianapolis Colts. Both teams will make the playoffs if they win the remaining two games on their schedules. The Knicks lose on the road at the San Antonio Spurs 122-115 despite 41 points and 11 rebounds from Julius Randle and 36 points from Emmanuel Quick. The Rangers, meanwhile, falling to the Lightning in Tampa Bay 2-1 in a shootout, despite 39 saves from Igor Shesterkin, as New York has now lost two games in a row. The Islanders, though, slipping past the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-1, as New York gets goals from Barzal and Pageau. Finally, soccer legend Pelé passing away at the age of 82 from complications due to colon cancer, which he had battled since last year. Pelé won a record 3 World Cups and played his entire career with Brazilian club Santos before playing 3 seasons for the New York Cosmos. I'm Dan Schwartzman with Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, Dan, thanks very much. The Bloomberg Sports Report being brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street right now after yesterday's rally, the Dow futures are 102 points lower. That's down 0.3%. S&P 500 futures, they're 13 points lower. That's down 0.3%. The NASDAQ futures, 39 points lower, down about 0.4% right now. 10-year yield in the U.S. was up to 3.84. That's up 3 basis points. The 2-year yield at 4.39. And the Bank of Japan announcing an unprecedented third day of unscheduled bond purchases. It's fighting back against speculation. It's about to end its super accommodative monetary policy. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker. The S&P 500 enjoyed the best day this month yesterday, when it jumped 1.7%. Still, on this final trading day of 2022, we're closing out the worst year in more than a decade for global equities and bonds. On that note, let's get you set up for the trading day ahead. Well, with Josh Wine, portfolio manager at Hennessy Funds. Josh, thanks for being with us this morning. Did that yesterday count as the year-end Santa Claus rally?
It felt it. It was a big day. Good morning, John. Yeah, it felt like maybe a New Year's resolution, which maybe was broadly, you know, let's get back into stocks. Let's start the year strong. Given where we are in the market, I think it makes sense. I think next year is going to look a lot different than this year.
Okay, so what's in the driver's seat right now for risk assets?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, amidst the backdrop of a 10-year at 3.8 and the market trading at 16 times, give or take forward earnings, which would imply about a 6% earnings yield, I think the market is set up nicely for a big year. I think any of the froth or any of the optimism that was in the market, maybe unwarranted this year, I think is out. And I think that we're at a good place. I think that the differential between an earnings yield of roughly 6 and a 10-year of 3.8, you know, that spread of over 2%, that's pretty compelling. I think over time that has presaged a big run in the market. And I think that this year, you know, definitely we could see that, you know, once again.
With respect to earnings, sure, at the end of the day, it's all about how much money you're making in an individual stock a company. But the sort of Damocles sort of hanging over everything is Fed policy at this front. How do you balance the two?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Fed has obviously been making up for lost time. They've been very, you know, vigilant, and I think it makes sense. I mean, we can argue about, were they too accommodative and were they, you know, at the backs of investors? And it seems like in retrospect they were, but I'm not so sure. I think that, you know, the market, we've had, you know, in the last few months, a few small rallies ahead of the Fed saying, oh no, we're not pivoting or we're not changing our language and all of that. I think the market has thought that the Fed was starting to nail it, and the Fed repeatedly has said, no, we're not done until we're done. And so I think that, you know, we are getting closer. We've seen better numbers, you know, on inflation. You know, if there's a fear, it's that, you know, they might, you know, solve the inflation problem, but not necessarily the price level problem. I think that, you know, things like rents and housing prices, which go somewhat hand in hand, you know, have been quite high. And I think that, you know, income has not kept pace with that, as well as other things that have accelerated in price. So I think that we could see some great inflation prints. It does not necessarily mean that the economy and the market starts, you know, running away. I think that, you know, there is a case to be made that, you know, we need lower prices, not just prices that go up at a lower rate. So, but all that being said, I think the Fed, you know, end of year in 23, you know, if we are in fact looking at a recession, they have some room to cut and, you know, kind of react that way, which is something that they didn't have for the last couple of years.
Are we on the trajectory to a pivot? I mean, whatever that means at this point.
Right.
And what's the timing of that? You seem to be saying that we're going to see rate cuts at the end of the year.
Well, I think it's certainly a possibility. I think no one thought that was a possibility this year, obviously. But I think that next year, yes. I mean, I think if there's one thing that surprised me more than inflation or anything else, it's been, you know, the employment picture. All these jobs reports, I think everyone has scratched their head a little bit, you know, because we've seen some layoffs from large cap companies, and certainly that takes some time to work through to the unemployment numbers. But in any event, I think employment's been very strong. It's hard to imagine that holds up in the first half of the year, given what we see with, you know, kind of the reversal of this wealth effect that we've had, you know, the market and crypto and real estate, everything has come in. Certainly not bullish for the economy, perhaps bullish for the market if the Fed ends up cutting rates at some point soon. But I think that, you know, employment inevitably must reverse, it would seem. I don't think that's, you know, going too far out on the limb. So I think the economy I think we're going to have a bad economic news as good market news environment at some point during this year, which, you know, to me feels more normal than bad news or good news is irrelevant in terms of what the Fed does. You know, we knew that they were going to raise rates no matter what, and they have.
Josh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Josh Wine, Portfolio Manager at Hennessy Funds, and Happy New Year to you. Coming up on 5:18 on Wall Street, still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to check the markets, bring you the latest news in business, economics, and finance. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now 101 points lower, down 0.3%. The S&P evening futures 14 points lower, that's down 0.4%. Now the NASDAQ futures down 42 points. 10-year yield 3.84, that's up 3 basis points this morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.